Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back to the Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast, presented by Zwift. We're going to do an interim transfer roundup, number 3 or 4. I've lost count at this point, because there's been some big news of riders who've maybe been... the negotiations obviously took a little bit longer. Perhaps they were hoping for a good offer from where they currently were. And so we'll go through them, namely being Adam Yates, Tymon Arensman, although that was an open secret. Yates from Ineos to UAE, Arensman from UAE to Ineos, Jay Vine rumoured by Chiro to go to UAE. They've also signed Wellens, Groschardt and Novak, and Ineos have signed a host of youngsters, plus perhaps the Lucro replacement, Connor Swift. So we'll go through all of them. But the first transfer, the biggest probably rider in terms of Palmares, Adam Yates, Benji, to UAE. He was on Ineos for a couple of seasons, 2021 and 2022. During his time there, he didn't perhaps achieve what they both wanted from it. He won Catalunya with the stage, and then this year he won Deutschland Tour with the stage. No Grand Tour podium. I'm not sure if he podiumed. I don't think he podiumed a Healy Monument like a Lombardia either. Oh, no, sorry, he did. He came third last year. I lied. He had a good end to the year, and he might do so again this year. But, yeah, it seems, Benji, that he just wasn't – like, he's worth a lot of money because he's can win World Tour GC stage races and World Tour one-day races, but he's not going to push Ineos to the next level at the Tour. And I don't even think he's going to – you can't rely on him to win the Giro either, especially when you've got C-Rod and Sivakov. So to me, it seemed like they just didn't need him at this phase of their rebuild. Is that like, or do you think Ineos should have re-signed him and he's still one of their top GC guys and other guys aren't at his level for next year?
I think when it comes to Adam Yates at Ineos, I believe that he was a consistent one-week racer, as you mentioned. Like, he's doing great at UAE Tour, those kind of races, Catalunya and so forth. But it only really came out in that Vuelta, where he ended up fourth just behind Jack Haig. And is fourth in that Vuelta? Arguably, he could have gotten more than fourth if he played it tactically better on stage 20. But that's not a certainty. But is that good enough to stay at Ineos? And I'd argue his Grand Tour consistency has not been good enough to really promote him to a level where he is GC leader at the Tour de France, for example, straightforward. That's not the case for me. Maybe that Vuelta changed something in him that we haven't seen yet, where he is more consistent in Grand Tours, but I believe I haven't seen that in 2022, for example. But now, when we look at what he has to offer for Ineos, well, not much, like you said. The youngsters at Ineos are growing. They're growing. Carlos Rodriguez, for example, is taking a step up. And we see other youngsters that are going to prove more in the future, like a Pidcock winning on Alpe d'Huez, arguably going to be a GC rider at some point in his career, that type of stuff. And next to that, Ineos is, from my perspective and from multiple sources on the internet, also slightly reducing their budget. And that has been likely a reason that both a Carapaz and a Yates are leaving, I'd say. Because let's say their salary stays the same or goes slightly up. Obviously, they paid more for Pidcock now this year after that crazy extension he had. But even if their budget goes up a tiny bit, I'm guessing they likely re-sign a Carapaz over an Adam Yates still, right?
Yeah, and also there's the huge Pidcock contract. So, like, even if the budget hasn't gone down, like, it's been eaten up. Like, I don't think that Van Baarle was probably on decent money. Carapaz, yeah, decent money. But, yeah, that Pidcock deal's got to be a big one. I don't know. I think it is about the money, because Yates, I reckon he was being paid the same or more than Vingegaard was before the tour this year. So, like, that's a lot for someone who wasn't near winning or even podiuming the tour.
Yeah, and Ineos apparently did give an offer towards towards Adam Yates. So I read that on Velo News recently, and apparently it was too low for Adam Yates. And then Bike Exchange and BNB were both interested. BNB, who got a gigantic bag of money from their new sponsor for next year, but he's now going to UAE. And the question, Dennis, why did he choose for UAE, and what does Adam Yates offer towards UAE Team Emirates? And there's multiple aspects there. I think when it comes to Adam Yates' side, there's probably also some involvement when it comes to the finances, when it comes to joining UAE. That's always the case for a lot of riders. But when it comes to the sporting merit here, what opportunities do you see for an Adam Yates at UAE Team Emirates? Because they've got loads of GC riders now. Eh? They've got Ayuso coming through at the Vuelta. Pogacar still on the top level, obviously. And we need to consider Almeida existing. What do you see as Adam Yates' role within UAE?
I think it's to score points, because Machin said that they want to score a lot of points. They do so many non-World Tour races. That's why they have signed Hodge, Ackermann, Milano. Because when you look at it and you're thinking, why would you sign Ackermann for good money when you have Pog to the Tour and other riders like Almeida going to the Giro? And I think they just want to score a lot of points, which, listen, if that's their goal, that's their goal. I don't think anyone cares. Like, does anyone care about the UCI ranking? No, because it's meaningless, because there's no money attached to it.
The teams that relegate.
If you get relegated, yeah, it starts to matter. But whether you come first, second, or third, like, do you remember who came first in the UCI ranking in 2018? No, I don't know. You remember who wins the Tour, who wins the Giro, who wins Paris-Roubaix? Like, not – if you have a budget that big, sending guys to triple stack the top five of Trofeo Laguellia is, in my opinion – a waste of time. It's good for development, maybe, to practice if you're going to apply the same strategies from that race to Lombardia, but to score points, yeah. And I think Yates, because when has Yates been a good domestique, Benji? Like, I know he, like, for Thomas, Murder Pagua 20 seconds, like, when has he been a good domestique?
I agree in that aspect, and I think it's also kind of a consequence of the strategies of Ineos, though, in that Tour de France, for example. I feel like they were still holding Adam Yates' position in GC quite all right at that point, and perhaps they weren't going to offer that up just to help out Thomas. But I agree that he hasn't really been the rider that I would see as the all-out domestique. Nonetheless, he can evolve into that. I think we were suggesting similar for Micah before he joined UAE, where we weren't sure whether he was going to be able to fill that domestique role, as he had done it very limitedly beforehand. Like, he was always going for his own stuff, for even KOM jerseys back in the day, and stage wins in the years of Saxo Bank, the yellow jerseys that they had back in the yellow blue ones that year. Like, we saw Micah evolve in that. Perhaps that Adam Yates can also evolve from the situation he's in into, for example, let's say he goes to 1 week races, because I think that's going to be definitely a role that he does. 1 week race to score those points to get UAE as the number one team in the world. And also because he's bloody good at it, 1 week race is also very important. They were going to try and do a 1-2 at the UAE Tour, most likely, because that's what Yates and Pogacar usually do at the UAE Tour. I bet it's like the UAE Prince or whatever. He was like, well, who's this guy that's like making it more difficult for us at the UAE Tour? Sign him. I want to get rid of him. We can't have this happen. He might actually beat us at some point. So they're probably trying to make sure that they are so secure when it comes to the UAE Tour. But next to that, I do believe that they are going to use him as a super domestique and co-leader at some point in a Grand Tour. But when it comes to the Tour de France, I don't believe his consistency is good enough to be a co-leader. And there I see him more as an attempt at a super domestique. But I guess we'll see if that comes out, because I'm not 100% certain.
The Micah comparison's a good one. He joined UAE in 2021 when he was a similar age, 30, turning 31. He had spent a lot of his career, perhaps his peak, chasing Grand Tour results. From 2017 to 2021, Micah didn't win a race, but he ran top 10 in the Vuelta, in the Giro, 13th in the Vuelta, and 12th in the Giro as well. So similar to Yates, although Yates is a much, much better one-day racer. And then Mike has been excellent for Pogacar. So I think that's a good comparison. I think Yates is a good co-leader for Lombardia, for Quebec, for Montreal, yeah, for maybe Liège. He is, like, his punch is really, really good on the sort of steep, steep stuff. So I think pairing him with Pogacar, because Almeida's on paper should be good at it, but his handling, his descending's an issue. Ayuso will be good too, but Yates is a really, he came third last year, so he's a really good guy to have. And maybe Pogacar doesn't want to do Lombardia this year or next year because he's doing the Vuelta and Worlds, or he's doing something else. So I get it from that aspect. I would have liked to have seen a team like Yates is more valuable for his points than for his potential Grand Tour results, because he can score so much in really, yep, really valuable races. Like, he scored 425 across the Canadian races. He's ranked 13th in the world. I'm just trying to think who would be that team, because Intermarché already qualified. Lotto don't have the money. Israel, this is the problem with Israel, Benji. They've just made themselves such an unappealing destination.
Yeah.
Like, with the equipment, with the scheduling, with, you know, from an outside perspective, just how the operation is running, that if money was equal between Israel and UAE, you'd go to UAE every time. Like, so, yeah. Are you surprised no other team splashed the cash for him, like a Bora? Bora like to stack these sort of riders.
Yeah, but Bora have already stacked quite a bit of riders last year when it comes to finances, that after also getting rid of Sagan's salary and so forth. But when it comes to this year, like, I think Bora probably has their crop of GC riders that they want to have. Perhaps they want to expand that more in the future, but they have their crop after last year with a Vlasov and so forth in the team and so forth. But Caledemont now leaving, let's keep that in mind as well. But when it comes to UAE, it's also, I don't know if a lot of teams can actually compete with their finances in general. Like, when we talk about Ineos, we're talking about them potentially reducing their salaries, if not staying the same. I'm guessing it's lowering a tiny bit, though, from my perspective on the situation, though. And when it comes to Jumbo, that's another team that can compete with UAE about salaries, but I'm pretty sure Jumbo's salary is also still under UAE salaries, yeah, in general. And what other teams can compete with that? Because the gap is quite significant to all the other mid-tier teams. And then we're looking at the team that was actually in the running to get Adam Yates, according to Velo News, which was a BNB with 19 million in their bag suddenly. So that's an intriguing aspect, but it's also going to a pro team that is not a proven pro team, that has not really displayed their plans to the worldwide public yet. We don't know what their plans are going to be, how they're going to take it on with that money, what they're going to do there. So there's that aspect. Bike exchange is another option. They saved themselves most likely from relegation this season, is how I think the situation is right now. They're looking relatively safe, especially after the mixed relay gave them a bunch of points. Oh, can't believe it. Anyway, that's another destination that was interested, but he came from that. Perhaps he doesn't want to go back to that situation. EF got Carapaz, so they don't need enemy aids anymore. So it's starting to get limited, eh?
BNB's the one. You're right bringing that up, in that they want to get the wild cards. They want to become a World Tour team. They need to start scoring bulk loads of points in about 5 months from now. And same with Total Energy, could have probably sprung for Yates. They have good equipment already, so Total would have been a good spot. But if the money's equal between those two teams and UAE, who are already way better than those teams, yeah, well, I mean, it's a no-brainer. So that's Yates to UAE. We'll talk about in a second. Well, there's another, I'll skip to the other riders they've signed for sure, Tim Wellens. But before I get to that, I'll mention our show partners, Zwift. Whether you're just starting out on your cycling journey or are looking for those final tune-ups ahead of a big event or race, Zwift is the online cycling platform that makes things fun. There are 9 different worlds, thousands of kilometers of virtual road, including replicas of real-world climbs like Alpe de Zwift. There's workouts, training plans, events, and races for every level of rider. The massive community means you're never alone. So if you want to find out more about Zwift or indeed to start your free 7-day trial, head to Zwift.com down below. Now, the reason I was a little bit negative maybe about the Yates signing was because of who UAE haven't signed. They've signed Wellens, Groschartner and Domen Novak. Now, Novak signing for UAE is no surprise to anyone who watched the UAE, the Tour of Slovenia, which was kind of the UAE tour, where he was sort of half riding with or for Pogacar whilst on Bahrain. He's a good rider, just a solid mountain domestique. Groschartner's top 10 of Vuelta. Wellens, like, again, Benji, for points, it's fine, like these riders, but first of all, Wellens doesn't score in big World Tour one-day races. Neither does Groschartner, really. Novak's a domestique. Neither of them are really capable of winning World Tour GC one-weeks, unlike Yates. And yeah, they can be an okay domestique, but Wellens is literally allergic to the heat.
Yeah.
Actually allergic to the heat. They've done tests. He like gets a rash. It's because when we joke about February Wellens, he can't ride as well in June and July in France.
It's true. When we spoke about UAE quite a lot and the potential weaknesses that the team has towards next year as well, and had in this year's Tour de France after the Tour de France in our recap discussion of that Tour de France. And what came out of that discussion was that we saw a lack of like controlling the breakaway. Those type of riders, a rider that can control the breakaway well, that can be like the break formation phase in a race is very important to make sure that a Jumbo can't set riders on the road, for example. And you need riders to try and counter that, or to be riders that can also make that move in the earlier part of the race. And I see that in a limited fashion when it comes to UAE Team Emirates. And on paper, physiologically, as in the way he's built and the way he can ride couple races and so forth, and is a ruler, Wellens fits that description. But like you said, one, he's allergic to the heat in that sense. And next to that, is that the reason that they signed him? And that's also a question mark for me, because I do believe that that is an area where they have to either find a rider in their current team that needs to fill that role, or they need to find a signing that can also fill that role. And perhaps a rider that is joining Ineos that we haven't spoken about yet, but Connor Swift is a rider that would have fit that role, for example, do you think?
100%. 100%. Like,
that's the kind of
Connor Swift. What was it, the French races, Benji? Quintana was there all day. Tour de la Provence in the crosswind stage that Viviani won. He was there. Schelmers was good there too. Swift, I think, was with him. Swift is just a really good stage racing rouleur. I don't think he would have cost the world. And yeah, when you like their rouleurs, it's like the Oliveira brothers, Bjerg, who, yeah, isn't that good at it. And like that's about it, really. Finn Fisher Black has been injured this year, so they'll be hoping he's only 20, and like he does have the talent, but he, like, Pogacar's in his Tour de France winning cycle of his career now, and so Kuhn was the man to go for. They couldn't get him for whatever reason. Yeah, that's a good one too. Yeah, just anyone that's like 73 kilos, to 76 kilos that has some race sense at the start. And so, like, the Wellens transfer just doesn't, it's just like meaningless to me. Just like, I don't care. I don't care if Tim Wellens wins Volta Andalusia for UAE. Like, I set the bar for them is winning monuments, winning the Tour de France, winning not just the Tour, podiuming the Giro, podiuming the Vuelta. They should be on the podium of every Grand Tour each year. That's the goal, because of the budget, because of the talent, because you have Pogacar. And so, like, Wellens just doesn't really move the needle for me.
And next to that, there's also the aspect that is the Cobble Classics. Can Wellens offer something in the Cobble Classics to make that team a stronger team, more support for whoever is leader in that race? Yes, I think that's something that he can play a role in, for example. I don't believe he's a leader for a Cobble team at the moment. He hasn't shown that in recent years to be worthy of like an all-out leadership in that race. And Pogacar is also in this team. But the question is, what races will Pogacar focus on? Because one of the aspects that we discussed last year when it comes to UAE is that this team is still a team that is led by a man that does so many races to try and cover the races that they don't necessarily have other riders for. Because he went to the Classics at the start of the season, was great at Tour of Flanders. He could have podiumed there, but he kind of choked in the final, unfortunately. And he did Lombardia last year. He does monuments throughout the season. He does Grand Tours throughout the season. This man cannot ride every single race. Is there also the aspect that they should have maybe invested in an extra leader for the Cobble season, for example? Like, for example, a Kronersen would have been if he had joined. Well, is Kronersen on the level to be a Cobble leader for UAE?
He'd be their top three, one of their top three, right? Would he be better than Trentin if Trentin's like... You know, it's not hard to make the UAE Paris-Roubaix team. Like, maybe if I keep going over Christmas on Zwift, like, and it's possible, like, they're Paris-Roubaix. I think they've had, what, one guy on average finish every year? Like, the Classics team has been very, very neglected. And if the goal is to come number one in the ranking, even if I don't agree with that being the goal, but if that is the goal, then you can't just focus on Liguellia, Trevali Varesina with sending a Wellens, Groschartner, Soler, Ayuso to, you know, come four in the top 10. There's Omloop and Brugge de Panne and all these races too that score a lot of points. So again, these signings do, I think Novak could make the Tour team, could, but I think it's unlikely because Yates, Soler was really good. McNulty is better than him. Micah is still good. I just don't see how Novak... I mean, would Novak be okay in Medium Mountain, actually? Would he be all right if Hirschi... Like, could he take the place of Hirschi?
I don't know about Hirschi, but when I think of Novak, I see a potential replacement for a rider that I'm not even sure if he is leaving the team, but I think about Apollons, for example, as in a climbing role where a Nova could replace that. But is Apollons leaving the team at UAE? Because I'm actually not sure about it, if that is the case. I'm going to take a look in a second.
He's not contracted.
Yes, so potentially he's that replacement in their eyes.
Yeah. I mean, Apollons is 30. I thought he was half decent in the... He came 12th in the Vuelta.
Yeah.
He was half decent in the Vuelta. He wasn't in their Tour team for whatever reason. He seems to have fallen out of favor with the with the Pogacar program, because he does the opposite. He did the opposite program to Pogacar this year. So even though I still think Polans is quite handy. The other big rumor from Chiro, I won't pronounce his surname, Scott Emilio, I'll try. On Twitter, the other big rumor was Jay Vine to UAE. He obviously won two stages in the Vuelta. He had KOM looking wrapped up before he crashed out in quite a nasty crash, actually. It doesn't surprise me that they've gone after him, Benji, but it does surprise me that there's no rumors of him going to Ineos. To me, Vine is Froome, or like we've seen Froome, Roglic, even Woods. I'm surprised Ineos didn't look at him. 25-year-old. I know I've been beating the Jay Vine drum to exhaustion last 18 months, but are you not surprised Ineos, you know, 25-year-old Australian, they've English speaking, good climber, good TT, just shit equipment, and a project for GC. And also, they don't have peak Froome. Thomas has maybe got 1 year, 2 years left. They didn't go for Jay Vine, who wouldn't, he's not going to cost the same as Yates or Pidcock.
One aspect that we do need to mention is that Jay Vine originally had a contract for 2023 at Alpecin De Koning. So if he actually is leaving, he's technically being bought out of that contract, is my guess. And if that is the case, how significant is the cost to buy someone out of a contract? Because I actually have no clue if that is significant. For example, let's say, I know that Bernal was bought out of his Androni contract back in the day. And I'm guessing that Ineos put quite a bit of money on the table to make that happen towards Androni, because other teams were also interested. How much would a UAE have to pay to an Alpecin, for example, to buy a Jay Vine out of his contract to get him to join next season? I don't know. And perhaps that is a reason that Ineos is not going after a rider that is in a contract, because they think they can't afford to do so. Or is that a thought too far?
To be honest, like, I don't know. I still think he's underrated. I still think Vine will be underrated next year. He'll come fifth in a World Tour GC race or third in a World Tour GC race. People are like, oh, Jay Vine, how did you, it's like, well, he went in a wind tunnel and got some, like, you know, was put some team support around him. Well, I'm not saying Alpecin, the guys with him did their best. I'm saying, like, top climbers around him. So, yeah, I'm a little bit surprised that the rumors didn't come out from Jumbo. Because if imagine Jonas on a good day telling Vine and then Kuss to set pace, like, poof, you could break the Mont Ventoux record. So I'm a little bit surprised, because I still don't think he's costing anywhere near the realm of the Yates of this, or even Wellens, frankly.
The question then is, Jay Vine indeed has won those two Vuelta stages. What are the next steps for him? What is it he desires if he goes to a UAE, for example? That's also a question I have, because at Alpecin, he is all-out leader wherever he wants to go, because there's no GC riders in that team. There's also not really support in that team. So that's the counter in that discussion. Is it valuable to leave an Alpecin, who is now becoming a World Tour team and might have that support in the future, to go to UAE? Financially, probably 100%. Opportunity-wise, it depends. Is he going to instantly have that role as a co-leader in one-week races if he goes to UAE, for example? Or will he have to prove it first before he can get that role, and therefore the opportunities aren't baked in stone yet?
I think he'll get plenty of opportunities, actually, because everyone else has. Soler has, Almeida has.
Bennett
has. Like, everyone gets to go for their own result in non-POG races. And that's actually the optimal thing to do if you're trying to hunt for points, is to have three GC riders ride for their own result. So I think his TT setup can't get worse. So, like, it's going to be a huge impact on his TT setup, which is the biggest flaw he has right now. I think everything will be better. Like, he had good support from the rulers at Alpecin. Like, he had good, like, Gianni Vermeersch, actually, like Jay would tell me, like, he's actually, the guys like that on the flat before the climbs are really, really useful at moving him around the bunch and setting him up. They're actually good in that fashion. And to be honest, on Pico Hano, who the fuck could have paced for Vine? Like, Vingegaard and Mark, like, that's it. Like, there's not many people who could have really done much, because he just crazy was. So I don't think he'll do the tour. It doesn't make sense to me for him to do it, because I think the Giro suits more, and there's Micah, there's Yates, there's other riders. So I don't see him doing that. And yeah, their Giro was a bit lackluster until Covey saved it this year, I think, from memory. But that's not confirmed yet. But that would be big news if it indeed happens. And I think a big loss for Alpecin. He's really been like one of their most prominent riders after MVDP, like in particularly in the English language market. But we'll move on to the Ineos Grenadiers incoming. We've spoken about Yates outgoing. Arensman has been rumored for a long time. Has confirmed he is joining Ineos. He won the Sierra Nevada stage in the Vuelta. He then worked his way into sixth on GC. 22 years old, 2023 at the end of this year. Two-year deal, not a three-year, only a two-year deal. Not a bad one, because if he performs well, he'll get a big three-year contract after that. What do you think they want from Arensman, Benji? Is he a domestique, or is he just another card that they hope can develop into a big GC guy, like a Plap, like a Peacock, like a Rodriguez?
We often see Ineos use riders that have future GC goals that as the super domestiques for other riders in the earlier parts of their career. Carlos Rodriguez at the start of the year, or I don't know if it was this year or last year, was setting pace on Chalet Renard in Provence or something for other riders, and his teammate ended up competing there then. And we see that evolve throughout the years as well, and Carlos Rodriguez is now claiming a higher spot. But Arensman comes in at a higher end because he has already finished sixth at the Vuelta. He's coming into Ineos, and I'd say that he's a Grand Tour prospect in their eyes. I think they want to do Grand Tour GC with Damon Arensman. I think he's a type of rider that he often reminds me of a Tom Dumoulin kind of rider. But there's one difference that I see between the two. Damon Arensman, he can have that steady tempo on the climb and so forth. He has that strong time trial. The only difference that I haven't seen from an Arensman that I saw from Dumoulin loads of times, because he did it to Nibali a lot, is that if Nibali dropped Dumoulin back in the day, Dumoulin was able to get that resurgence, that second wind, and counter Nibali after his attack and drop him. He also did similarly at the Vuelta, I'm pretty sure, where he came back to someone who was winning and then overcame that rider. So that's the difference that I haven't seen with an Arensman, that like that finishing aspect to him as well. Now, for a GC rider, consistency is the most important part, and that's an area where on the climbing, I'm saying that he's pretty damn strong. On the time trial, he's pretty damn strong, but then he has these like weird moments on stage that you don't expect it. Let's say a finish of like 2 kilometers at 8%, he suddenly loses like 19 seconds or 30 seconds, like in Polonia that one time, and the Vuelta as well, one stage that he did similarly. Those stages, he shouldn't be losing time on. And if they can get those small aspects out of him, then he can become a more consistent GC rider than he already is. If you can come sixth in the Vuelta at 22 years old, you can become a top five GC rider, top five in a Grand Tour in the future. That's 100% true. Can that evolve into a rider that can get on the podium of a Grand Tour? I believe that's always possible with Damon Arensman. I believe he can podium a Grand Tour. Winning is not going to be easy because there's so many talents now on the board right now. I see their goal in the coming years to have him be able to podium a Grand Tour. Do you see that as a right goal? Do you see that as difficult? Do you see that as doable?
Depends on the parkour and what they can do with his TT. His TT, did something happen to him he got heat stroke in Alicante, right? Because his TT was shit. He lost 3 minutes. He needs his TT to be better than Jonas, better than Pogacar. He needs it to be Evenepoel level for starters, because he's never going to be the best climber. He's 192 centimeters. He really struggles on the steep gradients. Like on Hazelanas, they went super slow on Sierra Nevada stage. On Prairies, let me have a look where he finished. He finished on 4 minutes. He lost 2 minutes 30 to Evenepoel on Prairies. Like, that's a lot on a 15-minute climb. Yep. So the steep stuff he really, really struggles with, but this Vuelta largely wasn't, so it was really suitable for him. It depends on the money, as I always say. I don't know the contract, but you're getting all the upside, right? 22, he just came sixth in the Vuelta. He's been on DSM. I don't think things, you know, he seemed a bit cranky about a few things in the Vuelta. Ineos TT setups are really, really good, top three. And if he's not, if you've agreed the contract before the Vuelta, before the stage win, he might not be on, he'll be on probably more than I expect, but he's not going to be on Yates money. And then he can be a really, really good domestique because he is big. So on a 6% climb, he can pull really hard. In a breakaway, as a satellite rider, he can get in breaks, as we've seen. He can get in breaks in multiple Grand Tours.
DSM pulls him out.
Yeah, and then they pull him out. But he's capable, which is not every guy can get in breaks, the GC riders, and he can be really useful up the road. So I think it's fine. I'm keen to see how he goes. Big talent, but yeah, his size is really counting against him when there's so many tiny guys that now TT at a crazy level.
I think a spot where I see him going for is, I believe it would really fit in a Grand Tour like the Giro, for example. Longer, steady gradient climbs, stuff like that. I think that fits him so well compared to the steep gradients you mentioned. That is likely going to be reappearing in the Vuelta a bit more in the future. I don't think the Vuelta will keep the non-steep stuff on their planning for every single year now. I really think the Giro fits him. If those time trial kilometers that are rumored, the 70K time trials, that venue popped in the second that he heard that Remco Evenepoel might be intrigued in the Giro. Those time trial kilometers, if those are there, I think Arendsman is good for a Giro. And then we look at the Ineos team, for example, and the question is, all those GC riders that are in that team, who of those would be going to a potential Giro as leader, for example? And I see a potential co-leadership role at the start of a Giro for Damon Arendsman.
Yeah, and especially with Carapaz out the door, and I think someone did the stats. You know, Ineos, we said it last year, the rebuild was starting when we looked at their off-season transfers. It's intensified. They are getting rid of 30-year-olds plus, if you're even Thomas got a short contract, and they're bringing in young riders. And for Arendsman, I mean, I wonder, like, his power meter was overreading so badly all throughout this year. Like, I wonder if Ineos corrected it. Because, like, the watts per kilo that it said he was doing was not correct at all. And then during the Vuelta, actually, it flipped the other way and it was, like, underreading massively. So that's why the power estimations are important, because the power meters, sometimes guys are literally riding around. And I'll have a good story in the off season from a rider actually about it, who pre-Vuelta, he sent me his file to say, I'll let him come on and tell the full story. He sent me his file. He's like, fuck, I was going really hard doing a max taper before the Vuelta, but my was so terrible, but I just took this KOM. But I really do like only 5.8 or whatever. I was like, buddy, you did a lot more than that. And he's, you know, people train with bad power meters or different ones that aren't the same as the calibration as their race bike. Anyway, that's a long story about power meters. Arendsman's was a bit funny because of the ones that DSM use. But yeah, Ineos getting younger as well with the signings. Oh, we already mentioned Swift. I think we'll quickly on that just say he's a classics rider / stage race ruler. I think it's really good. Tick. Don't think he's going to cost the world. But the young ones that I alluded to, Leo Hayter, the brother of Ethan Hayter, who also got a big contract extension, but really struggled in the Vuelta before having to abandon. Joshua Tarling, who is a huge unit, he's a good rider. And Michael Leonard. I think, did Tarling win Junior Worlds ITT? Yep. I believe the other day. And Michael Leonard, I know nothing about. I knew from Discord from the Canadians that he was one to watch, but do you know who he is, Benji? Because he's not done L'Avenir or anything like that.
Basically, he's a Canadian that has been riding for the Franco Ballerini team in Italy. We've seen quite a few riders in the past go from the Franco Ballerini team and actually become World Tour riders. So he's one of those riders. At the age of 18, he's signing a 3-year deal now for Ineos. Is Michael Leonard, and the aspect to him is that he won quite a few of those junior Italian races in Italy. Well, because they're Italian races, they are in Italy. No shit, Sherlock. And he won, for example, Trofeo Madonna del Calvatore. That's one of those races he won. multiple one-day races as well in April. He is a reportedly, according to Velenos, also one of the standout performers in the junior ranks in Italy in general. And apparently, Ineos has said that he has significant numbers, or at least the numbers have significantly impressed them. As a consequence, they've signed him. So that's intriguing. I think he's just one of those riders where we have to see where he goes. Last year, they signed a Sheffield, a Ben Turner, a Clock, for example, and also a Hajduk. We've seen quite a few of those. Yeah, Tollet, exactly. We've seen quite a few riders of those, although Tollet was kind of already there at Alpecin, I'd argue. But the other three are youngsters that we didn't know as much about when they signed for Ineos, for example. And we now see a Leonard doing very similar move. And we saw Sheffield building into that this season. We saw Clog building very strongly into that as well this season. Those two riders really performed. A Hajduk has not really gotten out there and proven it the first year. Doesn't mean he can't do it the second year. Not all juniors are, not all U23 riders, youngsters in general, are supposed to prove in the first year that they deserve that spot. They've got some time to actually prove that they deserve World Tour spots, and Hajduk might do that next year. But with a Leonard, apparently he's just very talented. So I'm hoping to see a lot of good stuff from him in the future, because we've got a limited amount of Canadians in World Tour. Woods is probably not going to stick around for another 10 years. So I like seeing more Canadians.
Yeah, 18 years old. It's now, there was Evenepoel, Ayuso, Brenner, Leonard. I probably missed another teenager that was signed to a World Tour team. And the thing is, Ineos doesn't really have a dev team, but they do have a pretty broad program in that they do an Andalusia, they do Hungary, they do Settimana, which is where I would expect Leonard to go 100% next year as a stage race, where Tullet, I think, won this year. So, yeah, I guess they're just going really, really young and realizing that maybe riders physically don't peak at 28. Maybe they peak at 23. And if you have the right modern professional training and opportunities at a young age, then they will peak at 23. I don't know. But yeah, they're going very, very young. And poor old G will have to hold up the ship and podium the tour again next year, I think, unless Peacock goes for it. Wasn't there something, Benji, about the UCI changing the rules about agents and juniors and things like that?
Yeah, indeed. They are now making they've actually made a decision, the UCI. During the World Championships, they have like this board membership congress to make decisions and so forth. Out of that came the decision that riders that are juniors can't be recruited by rider agents anymore. And on one end, I think that it is to protect those riders from rider agents who have the idea of benefiting from youngsters signing them up early and financially benefiting from them future in their career. On the other end, there's also the aspect that if I am a youngster, a junior rider, I want to be represented by someone that knows how to negotiate a contract with a World Tour team, for example, because there are riders like a Michael Leonard, or actually, I don't know how to pronounce his name correctly, so if anybody knows, shout it out in the description or in the comment section or something. Now, a rider like that is being signed so young, so he kind of needs someone to represent himself. Do his parents know how rider contracts and so forth work to do it for him? I don't know. But there are other options, of course. I think there's some unions that give advice when it comes to legal stuff to riders. Maybe that can be a solution. There's also potentially just in general lawyers that could help, sports lawyers, when it comes to the contracts. But you think it's dangerous for youngsters to not be able to have a rider agent represent themselves, or do you think it's a good decision or comes from a good place when it comes to the UCI?
I think it's one of the worst ill-thought-out things I've ever heard. The idea that they haven't prevented World Tour teams signing junior riders, so junior riders still must negotiate or can negotiate before they do U23 with a World Tour team. The only difference is now they don't have professional representation. So what have you achieved here? Okay, and also, is there an epidemic of juniors going to World Tour? Kjaan Oosterbroeks, it's going great. It can't be going better for him at Bora, in my opinion. And he's getting paid better money than he would at a U23 team. Brenner, that's the one. Not sure it's worked out, but that's DSM. Evenepoel, he looks pretty good. Who else has signed up? Yeah, Ayuso, he's pretty good. And Sheffield, he's pretty good. They're all earning good money. And
Morgado, Herzog, technically being signed by Axion, but I'm pretty sure
that doesn't count. That doesn't count. Okay. That's a dev team, okay, in my view. I also think it's a bit paternalistic. Like, I know they're young men. I know they're 18, but like, if they want to earn the money and take the money and also go for development, then they should be allowed to make that decision. And they still are allowed to make that decision. And like, only the top guys are getting signed. I just don't understand why, like, what agents... I don't understand the motivation for this. Like, so they're saying that an agent is going to go to X rider who wouldn't have gone World Tour and then force them to go World Tour when they would have gone to U23, because then the agent gets the commission. Like, but then they must be already a pretty good rider to go, like, top one, 0.01%. I just don't understand. And also, Ineos or whoever, Ineos, Quickstep, UAE, whoever signed the juniors, they're on the other end of the table. So they're not looking after, I know they will because it's their young rider, they want to develop them, but in the negotiation, in the contract, no, it's trying to get the best deal for you. So who's looking out for the guy? Like their dad who might, or mother who might not know anything?
I think the issue that I see when it comes to this is, let's say that the original thought has some merit. Let's say that the UCI has data to prove that there are rider agents that are benefiting from getting youngsters at a young age and only doing so they can financially benefit off those earnings. Let's say they have the data to back that up. I think that's just going to switch around to teams benefiting from that, because they're going to be preying on youngsters that don't have proper representation. That's my view here. And I think we're going from one situation that might not be ideal, perhaps, to another situation that might not be ideal. I think it's just not completely thought through, and there must be other solutions that can work and solve the issues better if the issues are there.
Yeah, I mean, the solution to what they're trying to achieve is you prevent riders must do 1 year of under 23. It's the same as going to the NFL. You got to do college, a year of college, right? NBA. They started being able to recruit from high school, and the debate about should they be able to do that. I think if they're good enough, they're good enough. And I think, to be honest, like, for the small, very, very small subset of riders we're talking about, they are the potential future superstars. And if they, you know, if they want to join the World Tour team, and also, like, Ineos, if you're 18, 20, 21, pretty fun place at the moment. There's loads of other riders your age, probably all getting good results. You got the best support in the sport, and you're getting paid better than you would at a Conti team. So obviously, there's more pressure, of course. But yeah, I don't understand where this has come from, to be honest.
I do think that there's an aspect to the fact you spoke about, is there an epidemic from youngsters going straight to World Tour and so forth? I do think there is an increasing factor of World Tour teams that are collaborating with DEF teams so that they already can go to juniors to make sure that they can present those juniors a plan like, okay, I'm Bora, you can go to Lotto Kenhouse for the next few years and already sign a contract with Bora afterwards. Okay, I'm Lefebvre, Junior William Lasserre, that rider that was ditched out of Lotto Soudal because he was negotiating with Quickstep without telling Lotto Soudal, for example. Well, Quickstep, Lefebvre, offered him a deal to go to the U23 team, and then afterwards already three-year deal, or what is it, to go to the World Tour team of Quickstep? Is that an aspect that is underrated here?
I mean, maybe. Is he a junior?
Not anymore.
Yeah, like it's the actual juniors getting signed to World Tour is so few. Like, and there's also examples like Morgado, who came second in the Junior Road Race World Champs today, should have he probably should have won. He could, of course, race in World Tour next year. You don't think this guy couldn't get good results in dot pro races for a World Tour team? Of course he can. He's like crazy good rider, Morgado. But he's going to Hagen's Berman Axion next year with Tavares. So there's, and with Herzog, who won that race ahead of him for their U23 year, who's 17. So, like, and you look at Morgado too. Man's got like a porn star mustache. Like, he looks 30. He can ride in World Tour already, but he didn't. He chose not to. So there's still riders making, and he's represented. He's got an agent, Corso, I think. They're not allowed to. They wouldn't have been allowed to represent him, even though they've got some sort of plan together, and he's not rushed straight to World Tour. I don't know. It just seems a bit of an overreach, not thought out. And I hope not, but there's no maximum contract length in cycling. What if Remco Evenepoel didn't get repped? But what if a team, the next Evenepoel 2.0 comes along and the World Tour team says, hey, I'll give you 150K for each year for 10 years. And this kid's like Evenepoel level, worst contract in the history of cycling. And he's like, well, I need 150K. Like, he doesn't have advice about it. So, yeah. Bit of an issue, and we'll see how that one is resolved, because I don't think that one's done yet. But any other transfer news, Benji? Any other riders that around the traps you wanted to mention before we get out of here?
Yeah, I think there's just loads of transfers that are still coming. I think it's best if we categorize them a bit throughout potentially a next transfer roundup. We've gone on for 53 minutes, and I do want to talk about, for example, Alotto Soudal, the transfers they have. Is that World Tour worthy? Is that preparation to go to pro team? But I think we can talk about that in the following transfer roundup, in my honest opinion. What's your take?
Yeah, and also we'll know they're looking like they'll be relegated, but they'll have the wild cards, so it doesn't change too much. But will riders break their contract? I doubt it. I wouldn't if I was on that team and got a contract I'm happy with, because they got all the races anyway. Anyway, that's all from us. Bit of a transfer roundup and some miscellaneous news, some agent news as well. Ciao.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.